This is the son of PCJ.
Hello, I'm Keith Parent.
And I'm Paulette Macquarie.
Paulette, I don't know about you, but I think we should take a little break and not really introduce this show. I have two other people in mind.
Sounds good to me.
This is PCJ Radio.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette Macquarie and Keith Parent.
Hello and welcome to the first monthly installment of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio. I'm Keith Parent in Taiwan.
I'm Paulette Macquarie in Canada. Over the next 55 minutes, we will talk radio, both old and new, the trends and the people involved.
That's right. A question that we've had over the past 2 weeks is, why do this show? Well, since PCJ started airing Vintage Media Network with Jonathan Marks, a number of you have asked that we do some new shows. Well, to do a weekly program at this time would be a little bit impossible as we don't have enough resources, but we can offer a monthly version of the program.
We should also mention, Keith, that Media Network Plus is an independent production. It is not connected in any way with Radio Netherlands Worldwide and Jonathan Marks. We will, however, use news items from the Media Network blog at Radio Netherlands. So a special thank you goes to blogmaster Andy Sennett.
Coming up in this first edition, we will look at radio station K103 located at the Kanesetake Reserve south of Montreal in Canada.
We'll also find out how people in the world's most secretive state get information from the outside world. That state is the DPRK, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, otherwise known as North Korea. That will be in an interview with the founder and director of Open Radio North Korea.
We will also announce the winners of a giveaway of a TV special produced in 2001 for the 60th anniversary of China Radio International. We have this and much, much more, so stay tuned. Well, there we go. That was the introduction to the first edition of Media Network Plus a long, long time ago. Well, actually, not really that long ago. It was 100 shows ago. Now, some people at this very moment are probably a little bit confused, Paulette, because depending on which show they listen to, either the 30-minute version or the 55-minute version, one show could be either show 99 and the next one would be show 100. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So we're going to call this one show 99 and show 100 at the same time.
Okay, well, let's just confuse everybody now.
Well, it's okay. I'm easily confused, so it doesn't matter. But actually, today's show, of course, is going to be a little bit different. We have some clips coming up and some other little tidbits, as they say. But before we get to any of that, Paulette, now we've known each other for quite some time. And of course, you do Nash Hollis, and you've been doing radio for quite some time now, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long?
Started in 1990.
1990.
Mm-hmm. 10 years before we met you.
Ah. And how did it begin for you?
Well, it was kind of a fluke. I had just arrived in Vancouver from Winnipeg, kicking and screaming. My husband decided that we would move out here. And so I thought, actually, when I came to Vancouver, that I was the only Ukrainian person here, because in Winnipeg, there's Ukrainian on every other street corner. But in Vancouver, at that time, actually, it was known as Hongkouver, okay, because there was a huge influx of immigrants from Hong Kong. That was back in late 1980s. And so somehow the Ukrainian community found me, and they were just going into a period of renaissance, and they were having all kinds of projects, and I thought, oh, good, something for me to do. And I was signing up left, right, and center, and somebody decided that they wanted to start a radio program. They said to me, Paulette, would you like to host the radio program? And I said, would I? So that's how it started.
So what happened? Were they like walking the streets, holding up signs saying, "We're looking for Ukes. Hello, are you a Uke? Are you?" Is that how they were doing it?
You know what? I can't remember. Somebody called me. I don't really. It's so long ago. I can't remember. Sorry, but they found me. Ukrainians do that.
So they wanted to start this little radio show, and where was it airing? And when you first got involved with it, what were you thinking? Were you just like, oh, this seems like fun?
Actually, yes, that was exactly it. I thought this would sound like fun. Now, there was a little bit of a problem because the people that hired me on realized, oh, just a second, this girl doesn't really speak Ukrainian that well, as I'm a second-generation Canadian. My parents were born in Canada. And so my language skills were not quite up to snuff. And so they couldn't uninvite me because I was a keener and they didn't want to discourage that. So they just brought me some Ukrainian co-hosts, and that was actually...
I like the way she's a keener. You're like, oh, this bright, happy little girl. They're like, oh, well, let's keep her amused, right?
That's kind of actually exactly how it was, Keith. And you can laugh all you like. I'm still a Pollyanna after all these years. But yeah, that's how it started. So they got me some Ukrainian co-hosts, and so they did the Ukrainian language part. I did the English. I did some Ukrainian, but I kind of was the English language voice, and that was really how the Nash Holis evolved into something that was bilingual. And now, of course, it's more English than Ukrainian because it targets an audience that does not necessarily speak Ukrainian but does like the culture, and so. That's kind of how it all started in a nutshell.
But, I mean, eventually over time, you became the sole host of the show.
Yes. Well, that show ran, that incarnation from 1990 to 1996 ran with the three of us co-hosting it as volunteers for 6 years. Management changed at the station, and we, the three of us, just went our separate ways because we had different things going on in our lives, birth of a baby, a marriage, a new career change. So we just amiably split, and for 4 years, I was very happily... had put radio behind me, and I thought that was it. That was going to be the end of ethnic radio for me. And then our mutual friend, Ed, who was a manager at the station that we were at, gave me a call right out of the blue. Coincidentally, after the day after I received a tape in the mail, a cassette tape from somebody I connected with on the internet, who he was a member of the Ukrainians and had just gone solo himself. And I thought he'd sent me a tape of his music. This is cassette tape. This is back in 2000. And the first time in 4 years, I said to my husband, you know, I think I really miss doing radio. I wish I had somebody to share this music with. The very next day, Ed Yolanin called me and said, how would you like to do ethnic radio? And I said, oh, no, Ed, thanks, but I mean, I'm done. And he's a very super salesman, as you know. And he said, oh, just temporary, just for now, just for a little while, maybe for about 13 programs. And being a salesman, and of course, I had just had that cassette the day before and wishing I had somebody to share Ukrainian music with. So he knew the button, and he pushed it. And so I said, okay, it's just temporary. Well, Ed's long gone, and I'm still there, 12 years later, 13 years later.
Well, guess what we have now, Paulette?
What do we have now?
Well, you were going through your archives, and you came across a show. What year is it from? 1990?
The very first, my radio debut.
Your radio debut. Let's listen to it now.
A musical portrait of the Carpathian Mountains, Чудова народня пісня у горах Карпатах, and that's performed by certainly one of the most distinctive voices in contemporary Ukrainian music, Kvitka Tsisik from New York, and that is a song taken from an album that won 4 gold records at the Ukrainian North American Music Awards back in Festival 88. The album is called Kvitka. If you haven't picked up a copy yet, be sure you do, because that is one wonderful album. Pavlina, what do we have up next?
Our next selection, well, before I talk about the selection, I'd just like to bring it from the Carpathian Mountains to the Rocky Mountains and just let you know about a little event that's going to be happening in the Rocky Mountains in the town of Kamloops. This Sunday, there'll be a performance of Vinko Pletenia under the musical direction of our own Kvitka Kozak. It'll be held at the Kamloops Orthodox Center at 2 p.m. sharp. Admission is free and donations will be gladly accepted. What we'd like to do right now is just have a little excerpt from the tape that the group has made, just to give you a little taste of what's to come on Sunday.
And there we have it, a very young little girl, Paulette Macquarie, back in 1990, way before she was influenced by wine, doing an early incarnation of Nash Holos.
Yes. And incidentally, that was exactly 10 years before we met, Keith, if you recall. That was 2000 at CHMB. And that was, first ran into you, this, handsome young man with a big smile and a crazy sense of humor, a perpetual twinkle in his eye, always something up his sleeve. And you were there for about a year and a half, I think.
Yeah.
We were working on a license application together, and then you were helping me. You were my tech. You were doing the board for me as I was getting used to learning the ropes myself there. So then you went away to Hong Kong.
Oh, actually, to China.
To China, that's right. Yeah, to China. And that was certainly not the first that you had ever been in a radio studio. When did you start? You started a long time before I did, and you're a lot younger than I am.
Well, I mean, it's funny, I was thinking about this, and I've actually been in radio for nearly 25 years.
Wow.
But actually, I just remembered something not too long ago. Actually, it even goes back a little further. And it was television. The first time that I ever did anything public in the media, I think I was, 11 or 12 years old. And I just remember this because somebody sent me the clip. But there used to be a show in Montreal that aired on CFCF 12, which is the CTV affiliate in Montreal. They had a summer series called High Noon that was hosted by a guy by the name of Ralph Lockwood, who worked at an AM station called CKGM. And he used to do this summer series, High Noon, and every summer they would go to different parts of Montreal and record a whole week of shows on location somewhere. And somebody sent me this clip that I'd forgotten about when I was, like I said, 11 or 12 years old. And they would have like little games and they're like little contests and you can win, let's say, coupons to a restaurant or something. And I was on that show. And I have to tell you one thing. I wish they destroyed that clip.
Why?
I just didn't want to see it.
Oh, you were probably adorable.
Oh, God, no, absolutely horrendous, but, yeah, so, I mean, that was really the first time. But I don't know what it is, but I think it was something that I had always wanted to do. I mean, when I was growing up, I think, I remember at home, we had television. But I remember the radio was always playing. And I still remember the stations. It was either CJAD, CKGM, or CFCF 600, which was the one of the AM stations at the time, which is no longer around. So we always had the radio playing, and then we had, my dad that would listen to the BBC World Service and Radio Moscow and all these other stations internationally. And I think that's what sort of sparked my interest because I mean, I was a strange kid. And I would listen to shows and I would be thinking the oddest things. Things like, what are they doing in the studio now? How do they mix the show? This is the kind of stuff that I was thinking about. And that sort of sparked my interest. And then I got a summer job when I was in high school, working as a gopher in a local radio station in Montreal. This is back in the days before the internet. It was ripping news copy off teletype machines, giving them to the right people, getting somebody's coffee, getting something from reception. This is what I was doing. And then as I was there, there was one day a technician didn't show up and I said, I think I can do it. I watched other people and I started doing that. And I did that for a few weeks, and then I had to go back to school, back to high school. And there was a job posting that came up. They were looking for a newsreader between midnight and 6 a.m. Midnight and 6 a.m. And I didn't have a demo tape or anything. And I actually recorded one. Now, the thing is, I hadn't done it before, so I didn't know how to do it or what to do it. And basically, I just impersonated somebody reading news, and they hired me. That was the funniest thing. I mean, it was terrible. And you know, then eventually I moved to other places. And then I think one of the big break for me was in the early 90s. It was a station in Montreal, and they were looking for somebody to do Saturday mornings. And I went to see them, and they hired me. And the funny thing, Paula, this just shows my madness. They said, well, you know, this is what I want to do. And they said to me, what do you think should be a name? And I said, they said, come up with a name. And I said, okay, I'm going to call it Waking Up with Keith Parent. And the director of the station said, no, we can't do that. We can't have your name in the show title. And I said, okay, well, I'll think of another name. But what happened was somebody in the programming department who I'd spoken to the day before had already printed the program schedules and sent out press releases saying, we have a new show beginning on this date called Waking Up with Keith Parent. So that ended up being the name.
That was one of my favorite art big band, the Skymasters, one of Holland's best big bands with I'm Old Fashioned. I can hear the logger alarm going in the background. Coming up next is the Ritz of comedy shows with Beta Wayne as he brings to you an array of comical journey through the world of comedy with some very interesting things. You know, there's certain albums that he plays on, that Beta plays on his program that, you know, I am a big comedy fan, and there was a time when I used to buy a lot of comedy albums, but these are albums that I've never come across. I mean, I think he must have over 5,000 comedy albums in his collection. It's very vast and very surprising quite often. Anyway, he's coming up at 7:30 in a few minutes, minute or so for now. I'll give out the address so you can get in touch with us. We're located, if you want to get in touch with me, it's Waking Up with Keith Parent, care of English Service, 5212 Boulevard Saint-Laurent, Montreal, Quebec, H2T1S1. And our phone number...
Poet, wasn't that scary or what?
That was really fun going back in time like that.
Oh, it was frightening. And you know, the funny thing is that show, I used to say on the show at the beginning, and I started saying it, I think, after the fourth show, I used to say, welcome to Waking Up with Keith Parent, and hopefully you also went to bed with me.
Oh. Way to get yourself into trouble.
Yeah. This was a radio station. I think we'll talk about it on another show, but I think I told you about there were two women at the show and I made some comment on
her. Oh, no, let's not go there.
No, we'll do that on a future show because I found that clip.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's no. Just, it's very, very funny. Anyway, you're listening to Media Network Plus, show 99 or show 100. Because we're combining the two. Now, when this show began, it was only a monthly program. And I think we did 12 or 13 shows before we went weekly. And when we started doing the show weekly, we started to introduce propagation reports for DXers and SWLs and radio amateurs out there to have an idea of what they can expect for radio propagation, and we contacted Dan Hensley, who does that weekly for us. So this week I caught up with Dan to talk a little bit more about propagation. Something actually that's quite common for anybody that watches television or, you know, listens to the radio or works in both mediums, and that, of course, is the weather forecaster. And everybody, of course, loves making fun of the guy who says, and tomorrow we're expected to get a high of 28 degrees and beautiful sunny weather. And then you wake up in the morning and it's raining or snowing. Of course, there's the other side of the coin where he says, tomorrow we're expected to get very high winds and a low of minus 50 degrees. And then it's 38 degrees outside and sunny and everybody's walking around in bikinis. Mind you, there are some people that shouldn't walk around in bikinis. Ugh, I happen to be one of them. But nevertheless, speaking of weather, there of course is something called space weather, or you could also call it propagation that affects radio waves, not of all types, from terrestrial to satellite to shortwave, everything, in mobile communications as well, everything. And as you know, since we started doing the 30-minute edition of Media Network Plus, Dan Hensley joins us weekly for a look at what's happening in propagation. And I think now I should make a joke about this. he's now joining us from his home in Chicago in the United States. Dan, let me ask you, are you planning at some point to say propagation conditions are going to be bad, but then they're actually good?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because of the fact that if you say they're going to be good and they turn out to be bad, everybody's going to jeer you. And then if you say they're going to be bad and they turn out to be good, you know, everybody's going to be like, what's up? You know, space weather is not like our earthbound weather because of the fact that it changes literally by the hour, sometimes even by the minute. So it's really hard to say within an accurate window what's really actually going to happen because propagation varies by region on the Earth, especially is better by large bodies of water or large expanses of space on Earth where, you know, that space holds extra moisture.
Right.
So it all just depends.
I'm going to remind you of something. This was some time ago, and I remember you said on your forecast at the end, you said, expect good listening for the next 7 days, and we'll see you in 7 days' time. And the third day after that went out, I was listening to, I don't remember what station it was, and the station was there, it was strong. All of a sudden, it started to disappear, little by little, by little, and then completely vanished, and everything on that band in 31 meters, 49 meters, and 22 meters vanished into thin air, and I thought to myself, I've got to talk to this guy one day.
Yes, that happens, and that's the nature of propagation. It has a behavior all its own, and unfortunately, it can't be controlled by anything or anybody, and you know, things like that can happen due to rotation of sun flares out of the view of the Earth-facing side of the sun. It can happen as a result of a solar flare. It can just happen as a result of the ionization in our various layers of Earth's atmosphere changing, the level of moisture in your area changing. Earthbound weather will affect how we receive propagation on a regional basis. So any of those things can affect it. I mean, one of the things that will especially hurt propagation, I have found, will be lightning. Mm-hmm. Lightning, that's it. If you've had good propagation and then you get a thunderstorm, your propagation's gone.
Now, one thing I've noticed, especially with propagation forecasts, usually at the end of every year or the beginning of every year, or sometimes in the middle of the year, they'll say, oh, by the way, in the year 2016, we're probably going to have a lot of more radio blackouts. And in 6 months from now, we're expected to have really good propagation. How do they figure this stuff out if something is like, you know, 2 years down the road or 3 years down the road?
Well, you know, the folks at the NASA Solar Dynamics Observatory and the NOAA work together, and they are, of course, constantly receiving updates from both professional and amateur space astronomers who are listening and watching to this stuff. So they are looking at their long-term data from the past and patterns that have happened, and they go on that information, they compile that, and they try to come up with a long-term idea of what's going to happen. And as we've seen with this solar cycle, everybody was saying, and you know, the solar cycle is going to be the best we've had, and it's going to be like it was back in the, you know, mid or late 80s, where you can work the world on less than 5 watts and all this and that. And it actually has not been a reality with this solar cycle. Activity has been rather low. We've seen weeks at a time where we've had a ton of sunspots, but propagation was actually not all that great. And when we have had good propagation, it's been spotty. It's been there and then it's been gone. And that's just the sun doing what it does.
Now, Media Network Plus goes out, the first transmission of the show is Saturday. We record on a Friday night. You usually send your report on Wednesday or Thursday. Has it ever happened, I mean, since you've been doing this, that you send it to me and 2 days go by and all of a sudden you say, damn, I think I made a mistake here?
It's actually happened to me only once, and that was last year when we had a solar flare that just NASA wasn't even expecting. It was just a last-second event. I sent the propagation report out. Everything was looking, you know, either poor to within reason, and I believe I forecasted at least reasonable propagation at that point. The numbers were looking reasonable, and then all of a sudden, we get the solar flare, and it just knocked everything out for the rest of the week.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot now, Dan. I have an email here that I printed off, and I didn't send it to you in advance because I want you to respond initially to this. This is from a listener who lives in he lives in Indonesia, but he lives on Bali Island in Indonesia, and he put a question here. This is some time ago. And he wanted to know if when you do the propagation forecast, if these propagation forecasts have anything to do with, let's say, listening to planets. Does it also fall into that category?
I would say yes, because anything you can hear from outer space that emits a natural radio signal of its own or would receive, let's say, long distance radio signals from Earth and could bounce it back our direction. Absolutely. And here's a train.
It's okay. Just keep going. You can catch the next train.
And so what happens is that, we can't hear it. As a matter of fact, just recently I had posted on the PCJ Media Network Plus, or not Media Network Plus, but the PCJ Facebook page of an amateur astronomer who had caught, I believe it was Jupiter, making a little bit of noise, and propagation was just good enough to where you could hear the bursts of radio within the static between 19 and 22 megahertz early in the morning. So it does happen.
Well, Keith, I think we're just about out of time.
That's right, we are. Now, if you want to listen to all past 199 or 100 shows, it's easy to do. Just go to www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. And do keep those suggestions coming. Yes, even those bad suggestions. And how would people write us, Paulette, if they wish to?
Well, very simple. Just drop us an email to mnp@pcjmedia.com. That stands for Media Network Plus.
That's right. Now, next week's show, of course, will be back to normal, or as normal as we can get. So, for me, Keith Powell in Taipei, Taiwan.
And me, Paulette McQuarrie in Vancouver, Canada.
73s to you all and 88s to the ladies.